Hallelujah. Just continue to worship. You may be worshipfully seated if you'd like. Ask Homer to come. And he may just want you to continue to worship just for a little bit, but let's stay in this place. It's a good place. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Worship you, Almighty God. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. He's worthy of all praise. Wouldn't you agree? Worship you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I say again and again, thank you. I say again and again, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Worthy is the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Strength renewed. Strength renewed. Strength renewed, Father. Sweetheart's pretty incredible, isn't it? I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was Pastor that was with me. Miss Candy went. I'm Kathy, Julio at the Quitting, and my boys. We went to a football game. Miami Jackson. Was that 2 years ago? Miami Jackson. Remember at that time, Pastor, that I was pretty sick. I had walking pneumonia real bad. I don't know if you remember or not. Remember, honey, I didn't even eat. We went to eat and I didn't eat. You must say, oh my God, it must have been that severe. You know, I was feeling bad. I didn't eat. But my point is, I was real sick. Every time I would cough, it felt like, you know, pneumonia feels like, my God. But I was determined. I was determined not to miss that football game. I was not going to miss it. I was freezing. I was shaking. I was quivering. I slept the whole way over, the whole way back. Maybe not on the way back because we won the game and went to state the following game. So I was excited for our boys. And I wouldn't have missed that game for the world. Walking pneumonia didn't do it, and 103 degree temperature wouldn't do it. Nothing's going to do it. But let me tell you something, my friend. There's been a transition. There's been a crossover. There used to be a day when a common cold used to keep me from this place. A common cold. Emotions used to keep me from this place. Not anymore. Not anymore. Let me tell you something. I don't spend my days with Jesus all week long not to come celebrate on Wednesdays, not to hear the word of the Lord and stand by you side by side and to corporately worship our King. 2 and 2 equals 4, my friends. It equals 4. It doesn't equal 22. It equals 4. Logic and religion says 2 and 2 is 22. But a relationship with Jesus speaks on this wise that 2 plus 2 equals 4. Selah. Not anymore. I had to ask the Father to renew my strength before church. I had to ask him to renew it. The apostles did all through Acts. Oh, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. We'll be able to speak your word with boldness and may signs and wonders follow your word. I had to ask him to renew me. Guess what? He did. A relationship with Jesus, a koinonia with him, the fellowship, true fellowship, will get you tough, man. It'll get you tough. The common cold won't keep you out of church. The love of money won't keep you out of church. Nothing will. Persecution, affliction, nothing will keep you out. He is our celebration. He is our midweek celebration corporately and our Sunday celebration. What are you after, Homer? The love of God. What are you after? The love of God. I hear of so many associates turning away from their pastors and starting their own church. Mockley doesn't need more churches. We just need to hold steadfast to the apostles' doctrine. That's all we need. Mockley doesn't need more ministries. What's your place? Here is the associate in submission to my pastor, Miss Candy. Submission to you in the spirit. What about your ministry? My ministry is here in this church to come every Wednesday, every Sunday. Come, sit down, and hear stuff that can change my life forever. What ministry? I don't have a ministry. We used to preach. That means nothing to me, my friends. We need to learn how to let that stuff go. If I'm in dire need to start my ministry when I have a man like Pastor Brown that devotes himself to God, something's wrong with me. Listen to this. If I can't wait to start my own, when I have a man and a woman that have committed their life to the gospel of Jesus Christ over me, why would I want to start something of myself lest I thought I knew more than he did? If you have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Why would I want to start my own thing when the apostles' doctrine is ministered to me 2 or 3 times a week? We talk about we need to be in one accord, in one mind, steadfast in prayer. Look at the early church in Acts 1, 2, and 3. Look at what they were. They had all things in common. Nobody lacked nothing. Yes, but the part that we forget is they remain steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. We can't fabricate that. We can't ask you to do that. That's something that you have to do. If we all abide in the apostles' doctrine, we all will have one mind and one accord. Very seldom do me and Pastor Bronk have separate thoughts in the spirit. 9 times out of 10, we think almost identical. Why? Because we abide in the apostles' doctrine. We pray in an unknown tongue. So when I hear something real flaky, I've learned to be quiet. But I wonder, has this person been praying in the Holy Ghost? Or have they been giving themselves over to intellect and logic? You want Acts 1, 2, and 3? You want to repeat it? Abide in the apostles' doctrine steadfast. We will be in one accord, in one mind, in one spirit. Not in human endeavors or in human logic, but in the mind of Christ. So what are you after? Your own ministry? Heck no. My ministry. And if I did go on my own and do my own ministry, that wouldn't be a sin. He'd bless it. I don't want 30-fold, my friend. I don't want 60. I want to sit right here where the Holy Ghost would have me sit. Crucifying my flesh and being in the perfect will of my Father. I'm after the love of God, my friends. I'm after the love of God. That should be our heart's desire. Taking our minds off ourselves, off our own selfish ambition, off our own agendas. our heart should be to encounter the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's one portion of 1 John that just, it excites me. 1 John again, I'm back in it again. Along with 1 Peter and the book of James. A little bit of Proverbs and some of Psalms, mostly 1 John. All the book of 1 John is a book that reiterates. He reiterates to me and you from chapter 1 to chapter 5. We have to learn to live out of what lives in. To live out of what lives in. All he does is reiterate what's already in us. If you're born again, I don't have to tell you to love. If you're born again, what comes out of your spirit is love. But he reiterates anyway in the third or fourth verse of chapter 2. He said, brethren, I do not write an old commandment to you. Now, he said, I don't write a new commandment, but an old commandment. That which you've had from the beginning, the old commandment is a word which you've had from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He said four times in the middle of chapter 2, I write to you, I write to you, I write to you, I write to you. Then he says, I have written to you twice. What he was currently writing was to love one another. What he was currently writing to me and you was abide in what's in you. What's in me, Jesus? What's in me, John? Love. So I write to you currently, Church of Immokalee. I write to you. I've written to you, little children. I've written to you, young men. I've written to you, fathers. I've written to you. I write to you. I've written to you. I write. I write currently to you because there's something in you. You have a born-again spirit, and you want the best of the Father. Live out of what lives inside of you. That's why I'm writing to you. I'm reiterating to you that which is in you. Then he says, I've written to you twice. He's written to us because there was something already in us before. Past tense. What I write to you, I've already written to you. And what I've written to you is to love one another. I write to you currently, and what I write to you, I've written to you already. What'd you write, John? What have you written, John? To love one another. These things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message we have heard from him and declaring to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. Well, what joy in us does he want to be fulfilled? The joy of having fellowship with him. He said, this is what I'm going to write to you, so that your koinonia with him, so that your fellowship will be made complete, so that there will be an absolute exuberance inside of your spirit. True koinonia, true fellowship, he says, is to abide in the light. I reiterate to you, Family Prayer Center, the commandment that you've had from the beginning, it's an old commandment. But a new commandment is the old commandment that's already in you. Love one another. Love not the world or the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in it. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. Listen to what he said. He said, love not the world or the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's not of the Father. It's not of the Father. It's not of the Father. You got to go back to chapter 1 to comprehend that. Because a believer thought that they were in koinonia with the Father. But he said, certain things are not of the Father. So they were doing the certain things that John said are not of the Father. They were doing them in chapter 1 and thinking they were okay with the Father. We When you get born again, love automatically comes out of your spirit. You don't automatically walk in it. If you automatically walked in it, then why would he reiterate throughout the whole book of 1 John and 2 John? Why would he reiterate to me and you if we walked in it automatically? It comes out of our spirit automatically because we have a new nature. But we don't automatically obey it, because if we did, we wouldn't have to read the Bible. We must learn to live out of what lives in. Completely live out of what lives in. These things write unto you that your joy may be full. What joy, John? What joy? The joy of having fellowship with him. I'm going to write something to you. I'm going to write this epistle to you, and I'm going to teach you how to bring this walk that you have, this koinonia that you have. I'm going to show you an excellent way on how to fulfill in your heart the joy, the exuberance of knowing the risen Savior. This is how you know that you know him. If you keep his commandments. And if you keep his commandments, you keep his word. And if you keep his word, you abide in the light. And if you abide in the light, you abide in his life. And if you abide in his life, you abide in his love. And you don't walk in hate, and you don't love the world. Can you say that again? Probably not. There's one portion, I'm exhorting right now, because I can't teach right now word for word. I will, though, before long. One part of John that just overwhelmed me, and I want this so bad. So I don't care about a ministry right now. I've been instructed by the Father not to preach anywhere else. When Pastor Bronk asked me to preach here, that's when I'll preach. I mean that with all my heart. This part of 1 John, I believe it's chapter 3, that just excites me, and it's attainable to me and to you. He's getting so personal with me. There's a lot of things that I have been giving up myself. Me, not you. He's not. This isn't his commandment towards you, or so I don't think it is. But I love being on the treadmill. I love running now. And there was two or three songs in there that were secular. Not bad songs. You would hear me say, oh, Homer, quit being like that. Quit being religious. That's fine. That's fine to you. But my spirit said they got to go. And they were Eye of the Tiger. That's not a bad song. But I felt in my spirit I had to delete it. And I deleted it. And I got nothing but Christian songs on my iPod now. All of them. Not one secular song. Not one. Not one. And it's not hard. See, a disciple doesn't have to lay down his rights. A disciple wants to lay down his rights. I don't have to lay him down. I don't have to lay that down. And I'll be in good standings with the Father. I don't have to lay it down. I choose to lay it down. I choose to lay it down. I want all of him, my friends. I don't want that 30. I don't want that 60. I want that 100-fold. The first John is completely consuming me. I can feel it. I can feel it working in me. I can feel it. When I read it, I'll read it like three, hear it three times, and then I'll lay down, and then my subconscious will talk to me for hours in my sleep. It'll just minister the words to me in 1 John. It won't stop. It just rolls in my spirit, and that's why I've been getting revelation when I go to sleep. It's been in me so many times. It's just rolling in my spirit, and he's talking to me and talking to me and talking to me. The other night when I laid down, James was going through my spirit. I don't, for hours I could feel So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. That scripture went into my subconscious. It went over and over and over and over. Again, that's what Pastor Dave calls that day and night meditation. It was incredible. I can't make that happen. We're the beloved. Unlike Cain slew Abel because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. We don't destroy lives. We don't kill. We don't destroy. On the contrary, we are the beloved. We are the beloved. That's why he said, beloved, let us. Chapter 4, beloved, let us. Beloved. He already said that they were born again because he called them the beloved. Who wrote the Gospel of John? Sure? You sure? Who wrote the Epistle of 1 John? Who wrote the Epistle of 2 John? Who wrote the Epistle of 3 John? Who wrote the Book of Revelation? Smart people. But John writes to us, so I thought. He says in chapter 4, he said, beloved, meaning those of you that are born again. Listen to what he said. The one that laid on the bosom of Jesus Christ in the Last Supper. There was 12 apostles there, but only one laid on his bosom. But there was only one apostle whom Christ entrusted with his mother. John. Listen to what the man that spent 3.5 years with Christ Jesus. Listen to what he said. One that knew him in an intimate, 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 intimate manner. What do you think John felt that day? I believe it was John 12 or John 13, where he laid on the bosom of Christ. He laid in the bosom of God Almighty. Do you know what it does to me when I hold? I got 7 or 8 grandkids. So many out. But every time I hold each one of them in my lap, in my bosom, I can't stop kissing them. From my oldest granddaughters to my youngest, to baby Quentin, to Ayana, to baby Andrew, to baby Jalen, I can't stop kissing them because I enjoy holding them in my bosom. Can you imagine what John felt that day as he leaned up in the bosom of God Almighty in the flesh? Listen to what John wrote, the man that rubbed shoulders with Jesus. He said, beloved, those of us that are born again, I thought he was writing to the body. He was, but he was writing to somebody else too. He said, beloved, let us love one another. If you read 1 John chapter 1, he included himself in the word we. He included himself in the word us. He included himself in the word our. So the man that laid on the bosom of Christ spoke on this wise, beloved, let us. He included himself in that instruction. He said, beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, and that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, 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 if God so loved us through Christ, beloved, if God so loved us through Christ, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, his love is perfected in us. God had to send someone born of him to demonstrate the true nature of God to society. Guess what, my friends? There's more than one begotten now. There's many begotten of the Father. So we're commissioned now to carry out the Mary ministry that Jesus did, not to die physically or spiritually. We're to carry out and love society out of the very place inside of me and you that has the life of God in it. First John chapter 3 is what I'm after, and I'm done. This is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I will have. This is what I will have. My friends, I want to know that I'm in koinonia, in fellowship with the Father. I want to know that I am in the utmost intimacy with this man named Jesus Christ. I want to abide in the light. I don't want to walk in hate. How do I know when I hate my brother, according to 1 John chapter 2? When you walk in the world. Because if you're walking in the world, you're not keeping the commandments of God. And if you're not keeping the commandments of God, you're not keeping his word. And if you're not keeping his word, you're not walking in love. And if you're not walking in love, you are walking in hate, my friends. That is the darkness that he spoke about in 1 John chapter 2. What qualifies me to walk in hate when I love the world or the things in the world? He said, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Nothing in the world has anything to do with the Father. You know why he said, love not the world? Do you know why he said that? Because the spirit of the world is no longer where? Inside of me and you. The spirit of the world, the drawing that wants the world that used to be inside of me and you, that's no longer there. 1 John chapter 5 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is his commandment. His commandments are not grievous, for everyone that's born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We overcome the world because we're born again. When we're born again, the spirit of the world is kicked to the curb. It is no more, my friends. That's why he says, love not the world. Why would you say such a thing, John? Because the spirit of the world is no longer in you, my friends. You have the spirit of truth in you. The spirit of God abideth in you. Don't go after something that doesn't come out of your spirit. Because it sure doesn't come out of your spirit. You're searching. If you're indulging the world, then you're searching and you're living outside of the perimeters, out of that born-again spirit. You're not abiding according to the unction. You're living according to your soul, the part of you that has not been renewed. You don't have to love the world, because that part that generated the lust of the world that came out of your spirit, that part's no longer in you, my friends. It's no longer in you. Love not the world or the things in the world. That's no longer in you. Why? Because you believe that Jesus is the Christ. That old world, that spirit of the world no longer exists, my friends. You have the spirit of truth. You have a born-again spirit that abideth in you. Love not the world or the things in the world. Why, John? Because the spirit of the world is no longer in you. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. We cannot be like Cain that slew his brother Abel. We cannot be. There has to be a complete, I don't know if I can use the word contrast. It has to be a complete contrast from that. We have to completely be opposite of what Cain did to Abel. Proverbs says, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I can't wait the next time that adversity comes towards me so I can know where I'm at. I want to know where I'm at. I want to know how I handle it. I want to see if I want to respond back in adversity. I want to see if I respond back in affliction and persecution or fiery trial or in a temptation. I want to see if I respond back. I can't wait. I had one today and I responded pretty well. That's why I'm crying. I responded pretty well. I don't want my strength to be small. I don't want my strength small. When there's adversity, I want to know that I can draw back into my spirit, the part of me that's born again and has the power of the Holy Ghost living in it. I want that part to come out. I don't want to fail no more on the day of adversity. I don't want my strength to be small. I want to rule my spirit. I want to rule it. I want to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I want to work out the righteousness of God. I want to walk out and live out of that law of liberty, that engrafted word. I want to know that I abide in that royal law. I want to know that I fulfill the royal law, that I fulfill it, not just hear it. I want to know that I fulfill the royal law, to love my neighbor as myself, when at all times. Not on occasion, not when I feel like it, not when my emotions say yay or nay, but when the spirit of truth rises up inside of my being and says, boy, stand firm. You've been born again, blood bought. Shut your mouth, son. He that has knowledge spareth his words. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. He that is hasty in spirit exalteth folly. I don't want to exalt folly, foolishness. It's time the world know who our God is. Not by lip service, but by enduring all things. I'm almost done. You know what I can't wait? And I might ask Pastor Bronk to judge this in his spirit, and he will. And I mean this with all of my heart in this closing words. I mean this with all of my heart. I can say with so much confidence, when these eyes open, when they open, do you know the glory that my God's going to get? Do you have a clue? Everybody knows I can't see. Everywhere I go, people want to feel sorry. And they mean well. And I don't mean that in a bad sense. Everywhere I go. But do you know the glory? And only the glory that my God's going to get when these suckers open up? Can you imagine the glory that God is going to get when these eyes open up? The glory that my God is going to get. Not me. Because all I did was lock up to believe him. That's all I do. Can you imagine in your mind the people that are going to whisper behind the scenes, he was blind. Everywhere he went, he was in back of his wife like Rocky Balboa following her. Can you imagine the glory that God is going to get? That's why, my friends, I endure this. Because the spirit of glory and of God, he rests upon me. Therein lies my sufficiency. That is enough. The spirit of glory and of God, he rests upon me. 1 Peter. Can you imagine the glory that our Father is going to get when these eyes open up? I'm going to tell the world. I'm going to tell the world. What did you do, Homer? I remained in the apostles' doctrine. What did you do? I prayed in tongues a whole lot. I pushed back the meal. I spent time with Jesus Christ to believe what had already been done, what has already been done. So there's a verse in 1 John chapter 3, or several verses that I'm going to quote, and then I'll be done. This is what I'm after. This is what I'm after. And it's in 3, somewhere in the middle of 3. You can follow with me if I'm misquoted a little bit. I think you'll forgive me for it. But it goes like this: Beloved, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. This is what I'm after right here. This is what I'm after. This is what I'm after. But if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Listen to this. This is what I want. This is what I want. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward Him. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. I want to know your failures and love you through them. I want to discern your stronghold so that I can pray for you. Somebody told me something a couple of days ago, and they didn't mean nothing by it. Somebody had told them something, and then the person told me it was in innocence. It was in innocence. This person told me, they said that blah, blah, this about another person. And I heard it for about 10 seconds too long. And I told this person, I said, do me a favor. Don't tell me next time. Because my soul immediately wants to go into judgment mode. My spirit man is saying, don't tell me. And if that person talks to you again about what somebody else did to them, stop them in their place. Proverbs says, he that covers a transgression seeketh love. He that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. He that covers a transgression seeketh love. He that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Proverbs also says that there's glory in covering a transgression. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. I named my soul, and it's funny how this person's here. I named my soul. I got a name for my soul and a name for my spirit. I call my soul, now I call my soul Big Reggie. And I think Big Reggie's here, right? Is he still here, honey? I named my soul, about a month ago, I named my soul Big Reggie. And Reggie, I love Reggie. Nothing to do with him, but I named my soul Big Reggie, and I named my spirit the preacher man. Because our spirit's always preaching to us. And I named my soul Big Reggie. See, Big Reggie opposes all that's good. Big Reggie, my soul, not Big Reggie, Big Reggie. The Big Reggie inside of me. But the preacher man inside of me, my spirit is always preaching to me, yea and nay, son. Yea and nay. See, Big Reggie doesn't always agree with the preacher man. Big Reggie wants to rebel. But the preacher man has the life of God in him. And Big Reggie's been positionally put to death. So one has dominion over the other. So if our heart condemn us not, this is what we should all be after. If our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. The two are not two. The two are one. to be born again and to love your brother, it's not two thoughts. It's one thought. Immediately when I'm born again, I'm qualified to love my brother because the love of my Father comes and lives inside of my spirit. The Father makes his abode in me. And out of that spiritual DNA and out of that eternal life, out of that light, I love you without anybody even telling me. Religion has separated the two. Double-minded saints of God have separated the two. You cannot have a relationship. You cannot have koinonia with Jesus Christ outside of obeying his word. That does not exist. The two are not separate. They go hand in hand. It says it at the end of 1 John chapter 4, and it says it about four verses before the end of chapter 3. What the new commandment is. Brethren, I write no new old commandment, but I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. The old commandment is the word that you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing, the true light now shineth. That old man is put to death, man. We have to let the life of the Father radiate. I'm stuttering, so I'm about done now. He reiterates throughout the whole book of what me and you are called to do, to live out of what lives in. What lives in? The agape of the Father. His word, his commandments, his love, who he is, lives inside of me and you. James calls it engrafted word. 1 Peter calls it the incorruptible seed. We live out of that wind at all times. At all times. I'm going to leave you this last minute with one proverb. Important proverb. A vital proverb. Now I got to remember the proverb. I know it. Trust me. Go into the Proverbs. Find those Proverbs that will teach me and you to keep our mouth shut. He that answereth a fool according to his folly shall be likened unto him. Listen. He that answereth a fool according to his folly shall be likened unto him. He that answereth a fool according to his folly shall be likened unto him. Contrast. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise. Listen. He that answereth a fool according to his folly shall be likened unto the fool. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise. Now more than ever, we have to learn how to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Therein lies the righteousness of the Father. Proverbs is just teaching me so much just to be quiet. Because when I'm quiet, that's when I can work out the righteousness of the Father. That's when my faith is fulfilled by works. Works is keeping the engrafted word. Faith with works completes a man. And there's not one trial, one fiery trial, one affliction or persecution or temptation on this side of hell that can hold a man or woman that abides by the engrafted word. Nothing on the face of this world can hold me and you down. We're guaranteed an exaltation when we operate and we hear and we listen to the engrafted word. Don't judge the engrafted word. How can I judge something that I don't hear? If you heard to love your brother and you didn't hear your brother, you heard the engrafted word, but you judged the engrafted word and disannulled the commandment of the engrafted word and disannulled your brother. You judged the engrafted word. You judged, we judged royal law. And James wrote, a man or woman that habitually does that is double-minded, receiving nothing of the Father. Amen. This is what we're after. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards Him, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, beloved. This is His commandment, Miss Candy, Kathy, Homer, Julio, whoever else is here. This is our commandment. This is our commandment, beloved. Let us. John included himself in that statement in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us that are born again, let us carry out the ministry of love that abides in our spirit. By this will all men know that we belong to this one man named Jesus Christ. If we have love one to another. Amen. Big dog.
Hallelujah. Praise God for those words. Hallelujah. Father, we just receive them into our spirit. Holy Ghost, we love you. We love you. Let these words sink deep down into us, cleanse us, give us all the more we need in these last hours. Hallelujah. It's interesting. He's calling himself his spirit, the preacher. The book of Ecclesiastes, which is written by Solomon, which wrote Proverbs, he starts out by calling himself the preacher. And that's what he refers himself to in the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the very last part of the last chapter says this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hallelujah. We've heard the words of life. We receive them in Jesus' name. You know, I was thinking as Homer was talking about the glory that he's going to receive, God's going to receive when the full manifestation of His eyes take place. And I believe that with all my heart. But another part of that glory, an equal part of that glory, is to know that here's a man of God full of doctrine. Because people on the planet at times, through just God's love and through people praying for them, they get healed in a prayer line. They get healed by someone else's power standing. And they'll give glory to God for the notable miracles that take place. But then they equally take away from the glory of God by saying, God did this to me so that later He could get the glory. I'm so glad. Now, here's the glory on top of glory. Here's a man of God who knows he's healed and the manifestation will take place. And he's going to give all the glory to God. God's going to receive all the glory. But besides for that, the doctrine that's coming out of him is, God didn't do this to me to later get the glory for it. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful that we know that? God doesn't, I mean, wouldn't that be kind of sick? He who sent forth his own son to heal us all, then he'd go behind us and make us sick so later he could heal us so he could get the glory? No. Doesn't do that. Jesus drew a big line in the sand and said, okay, make sure you don't mix me up with this one. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sickness, disease, and all that's the work of the devil. Me and him don't have nothing to do with each other. But I have come that I could give you life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. So the enemy came and attacked, but this man's his strength is not. Hey, you know what? We're right there with him, aren't we? Hallelujah. We're right there with him. Father, we love you so much. We give you glory. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. Mostly, more than anything else, the beginning, which was Christ, our born-again nature. Holy Spirit, you're the one who stood down in us and created that spirit from the very beginning. And we love you so much, so, so much for it, Lord. So we're asking tonight that you'll continue to work in us. Lord, we receive these words of life. We receive these words of life. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to consider giving tonight. There'll be an offering basket up here for you. And so let's just pray. Father, we pray that, Lord, that you'll open up. And that, Lord, we receive with gladness everything we've heard tonight. Once again, open up our hearts to giving according to your will, your loving kindness and tender mercies. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you'll put the lights on. Folks, stand with us. If you have something to give tonight, we sure would appreciate it. We appreciate you coming. Thank God for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Be blessed. In Jesus' name.